When I first got into LinkedIn, it was when I was still active duty. I really didn't have a clue what LinkedIn was all about, how to use it. I wouldn't consider myself an expert now, but I do have a better understanding of what networking means. But when I started, I didn't know what it meant. It was intimidating. You see all these people with 500 plus names, and you know everything's people making posts, and you hear about people getting jobs. I didn't have a clue how to do any of that. I do wish I'd met Jacob Levy back then. You know, I think I could have learned quite a bit from him. I know I've taken some notes from our conversations, and I've applied them even in the short time that I have known him. And I'm hoping when we're done with this interview today, you're going to be doing the same thing. Either consuming his free content or reaching out to him and engaging him to be a one-on-one coach, because you really want to make the most of your LinkedIn profile. He's a neurodivergent career coach. He comes at it from a place of personal experience. He, you know, he shares his three-point shot in the podcast. I think that's something worth really listening to, pausing it, rewinding it, listening to it a few times, how he outlines what that three-shot means. And there is a free cheat sheet on LinkedIn. All you have to do is DM him. I'm going to have links to his profile and everything else in the show notes. With that introduction, let's dive in. Welcome, everybody. Today, I have with me Jacob Levy. He's a neurodivergent career coach, and we're going to have a discussion around employment and how people can help themselves. I see a lot in social media and other articles about how unemployment is so bad for individuals with disabilities. And I'm not going to refute that. I do think, and this is my opinion, but I believe we as parents and provider agencies may not be putting our best foot forward when we're trying to help people with disabilities find jobs. I think we tend to be very lead with the disability and needs first, and not leading with why the business will benefit. And I'm hoping today Jacob can give some well-defined, easy-to-use tools and tips. And again, he's a coach, so the goal would be to hire him if you are in a place where you need the help. Jacob, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric, for the opportunity. I love the content you're pushing out. Super, you know, inclusive and supportive of the disability community. I never know what to call the community, to be perfectly honest. As a person with a disability, I've heard so many different names. I've gotten crapped on for saying the wrong name. Like, I don't even know what to say anymore, but thank you.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I did change my name from Special Needs Navigator. Now I'm doing Businesses True North Disability Planning, because I think special needs is, I can see why somebody wouldn't identify with having special needs. But, you know, when it comes to other types of disabilities, it's tough. Like even neurodivergent, right? I cringe a little bit with neurodivergent because I fear that people automatically associate that with autism instead of ADHD or dyslexia or, you know, pick your flavor. But how did you come about becoming a neurodivergent career coach? What led you to this?
It's a great question. So I actually started doing career coach. It was a side hustle. I was doing some video editing when I was unemployed back in the day. And I posted my services in a Facebook group. And lo and behold, a career coach reaches out to me. So what ended up happening was I kind of like bartered with him. I was looking for a job and he needed video editing. So basically, while he was helping me find a job, I was editing his content. What ended up happening is through editing his content, I learned his process. Like 8 steps, I learned his process, and he actually got me a job through his coaching. And his name's Arthur Glusman, Global Career Advisors. He's awesome. He's my mentor. And so he taught me everything. And after I got a job, he was basically like, well, do you want to just come work for me? And so basically, like, he showed me the ropes of how to be a career coach. And I worked for him for quite some time. And I also had a job. So it like changed my whole world. And I ended up like falling in love with career coaching. It wasn't, I mean, it made perfect sense because like as a teacher, you wear a lot of the same hats as a coach, especially a special education teacher, which I am also a SPED teacher. And So that's how kind of how I got into it. The only thing was I didn't have a niche. I was helping everyone and everyone and everybody. So right before the pandemic, I noticed that when I was pushing out content, I realized that I needed to start to like speak my truth, because it's a very taboo subject, even, you know, since the even since like IDEA and ADA and all that stuff, it's still taboo. And it's like more taboo, I feel like, in corporate culture. They're getting better, but it's still like a thing. It's still a thing. And so I started pushing out content that just displays what I do, right? Like my expertise, educating, training, whatever. And I got so sick and tired of the accommodations process, checking the box. Oh, we didn't get the checkbox, this and that, all the stuff, that I just said, I threw up my hands and I was like, screw it. So I started making content based on what I do, like my skill set, while also infusing that I have a disability. Cause I was like, you know what? I'm gonna beat everyone to the punch. Instead of having it be reactive, I'm gonna make it proactive. I'm gonna let everybody know. And so what that does is it, or what I feel it does is it repels those companies that are not inclusive, right? Cause they can, so like LinkedIn, for example, it's a 24/7 Google search. People don't understand that because they run to the job boards. A job board is very limiting because it's more of a one-to-one ratio. So you can have 10 resumes, but you can only submit one at a time, like one-to-one. I call it a one-to-one ratio. LinkedIn, however, is a one-to-zillion ratio. You can make one piece of content, and that piece of content, not a resume, just a piece of content displaying what you do, your expertise, your learning journey, whatever, can be seen by practically anyone in the world. Just think of Google. If I type in a restaurant in a city, it will populate all the restaurants in my location. LinkedIn is very similar, where I can type in like a job title in a city, and you do like one simple filter, and you can find anything in the world. Live, by the way, from a human, not a job post. Live, not... it's live, but you actually have the opportunity to engage with a human. And typically those that post jobs are decision-making entities. That's massive. You can't do that on a job board.
Right. So is there a difference? I'm trying to think how to phrase this without being offensive.
Go right ahead.
Is there a difference between what you're doing and what a vocational rehabilitation counselor will do?
I believe so, yes. In a nutshell, the difference is education. Because I'm not bashing on voc rehab, but what I believe that they don't do is they provide the resources, but they don't educate how to utilize.
Yeah.
Right. And so the cheesiest analogy I can think of, because I'm full of them, is if you gave me a basketball, right? I'm 5'4", not the most athletic. I used to be, but I like lower center of gravity sports. So that basketball is worthless to me. But if you give someone like LeBron James a basketball, it's worth $1 billion. That's how I see, you know, like having someone that does job coaching or finding a job and just giving them resources versus actually like showing them, like teaching them how to fish.
I really like that analogy, Jacob, because I feel very similar between nonprofits that do information referral and what I do, right? Because many people don't need more things thrown at them or get told to, to your point about the job boards. Oh, just put your resume on Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with that is that, so Indeed is also your resume, I think, is searchable because you put in the information by fields.
Okay.
Right. But the problem with that is you can get anyone to find you. Like you got hey, you want to go into sales, right? You're a teacher. Like what? No, like it's not as focused. And like, okay, they do have a chat feature, but like it's still one-to-one. Cause if I engage in the chat, it's just to one person. If I engaged in a hiring manager's content and they have 10,000 people in their network, 10,000 people have the ability to see my comment.
Tell me more about that. Tell me more about engaging with a hiring manager's content. What would that look like? What is content? I'm trying to ask for people that aren't on LinkedIn. I mean,
sure. Content, in my opinion, I mean, you get a million definitions, but content is a piece of information that adds value to somebody. Simple, right? I mean, there's
so
content.
So it's not going to be a picture of dessert.
It can be, but there also, I think, needs to be like a summary with okay. words, right? Because otherwise it's just a picture and you can take it however you want. But if you have a picture and then you start talking about like, I mean, you've seen like memes on there and all that stuff, but if you have a picture and then you put some context to it, people will relate to it. They're like, oh, you have a picture of The Office, for example. But then you put context around, you know, the onboarding process or resume revisions or whatever. One, it's engaging, humorous. People can relate to it. But most importantly, does it add value? That's how I see content, is a piece of information that adds value to another human being. And in this case, employers, right? How are you adding value to employers? I have nothing against a resume, right? There, you live in the US, you kind of need one. However, a resume, here's another cheesy analogy. A resume is just the table of contents. That's all it is. Why? Because it's bullet points and dates of employment. It's a high level synopsis of your work experience.
See, and I have a problem with resumes, and I think this is being recorded in January 2023, and we have an elected official who lied on his resume. That's so there's really no checks and balances. You can put anything, evidently you can put anything you want on a resume. And to me, a resume doesn't reflect somebody's true abilities, right? Like, I've never been hired because of my resume. I've always been hired by networking and then submit. Then it was a formality of, oh yeah, can you shoot me a resume?
Right, because it's an administrative courtesy, right? So, and you hit it right on the head, networking, but from a high level, I always tell people, keep the process of job hunting as human to human for as long as you can. Once they ask for a resume, if they say, okay, go ahead, submit your resume. Like there is a time and a place to submit your resume, but like add as much value as you can up front to a human being. That's why I'm such a fan of engaging on decision makers content based on your industry, blah, 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 because that's who you want to see your content, your value you bring to the world. The funny thing is, like, so I created this like formula. I'm very like, so I used to be a jazz musician for a decade. I was like an amateur jazz musician. So music and math are in the same part of the brain, right? So anytime I can create a process, a repeatable process, I will do it. Because I think it adds value, especially to people with disabilities. If you can create some sort of routine, some sort of process, and it's repeatable, like you're going to do well. And people with disabilities, I think, can do well and thrive. I'm not saying like remedial tasks. That's not what I mean. I mean, just if they can create some sort of system in their job, in their search, whatever, that can be repeated, I've seen success. I've seen success with myself. So I'm not going to speak for everyone with a disability, but that's just something that I noticed.
Can you give an example? Well, let me back up a second, because you covered a lot there. And I want to take this down to the lowest common denominator, assuming somebody has never been on LinkedIn.
I'll go back to the engaging on a post, because I think that's where I was going when I sidetracked.
Yeah.
Because that's how my brain works with coffee. So, okay, if I see a post that says, we're hiring for a project manager in Chicago, okay? And it says, apply here, whatever. I won't apply right away. I don't suggest applying right away. Why? Because it's like bait and hook. You got 800 million users globally on the platform. I would say only about 10 to 12% are active users. That doesn't matter. That's still a lot of people. Okay. Have you ever looked at the comment section of a job post?
I personally have not, but.
Okay. You'd be surprised what you see. First, you're going to see the silliest word on LinkedIn from a job seeker, which is interested. That's the stupidest thing you could possibly say. Why? Of course you're interested. You're on LinkedIn. There's millions of people on LinkedIn that are interested. That doesn't add any value to anyone, right? Yeah, I'm interested. Wonderful. But like that's a waste of time to an employer. Total waste of time. So what I developed is called a three-point shot.
Okay.
Like in basketball. It's funny because I'm 5'4" and I do not play basketball. But the analogy works. So the first thing you want to say is, okay, let's say it's a project manager role in Chicago. You would say, hi, so-and-so, this project manager role looks great. I am qualified to do A and B. Now, A and B is simply two bullet points from the job description. There's a very specific reason I like to do that. Hiring managers, that's part of their jargon. That is the language that they look at all day long. Like they have a stake in the job description, right? They have user input. So you want to, I think it's important to speak the language of the hiring manager. Okay. Even though it's not like daily speak, it doesn't matter. Okay. That's bullet point number one. The next thing you want to do is skip a line in the comments because nobody wants to read a paragraph, right? You're thinking about user experience. And this is where you actually add your value to the post. Okay. The reason why I stress this is because most people wait 30, 60, 90 days to add their value to a company. Well, I say, why wait that long when you can do it online in front of a decision maker? And it's instant, instantaneous, and it will be seen by many people as opposed to one-to-one. It's the whole one-to-one, one-to-many. Okay, so you add your value. What does that mean? There are a million ways to add your value. I'll give you a few examples. Quote their mission statement. Right? It's something you would do in an interview anyway, right? You're doing your research, adding your value, and you could say how it resonates with you as a prospective employee at your company, right? Or your values, your ethics, etc. Okay? Why is that important? Research. It shows you went above and beyond, okay? Another way, what's their latest stock price? Any new technology at the company? One of my favorites is Google the company, click on the news icon, and it will literally scour the earth of anything newsworthy on the company. Okay. Use technology. They always talk about assistive tech. Use it to your advantage because it's available and everyone else is doing it, but like harness it. Don't just like, I mean, you should, there's still a human element involved, but like use technology wisely. And then the last thing I would say, again, skip another line. No one wants to read a paragraph. This is what I say verbatim. I would be interested in discussing current opportunities. There's many reasons for that. Most posts, like you'll see a post that was posted like 14 days ago, right? The cool thing about LinkedIn, content never disappears. It is always there. It just simply gets archived. Okay, so you can find a post from a year ago using simple keywords. It just sits there. If you leave a comment on a post from a year ago, that person will get notified right away. That's huge because use that old post or new, it doesn't matter, as an icebreaker for a larger conversation. Use these posts as icebreakers. Resumes, there's millions of resumes getting pumped into these systems. You're losing the human element. That's what I think is so ironic that technology is moving so far forward. But in a way, we're moving backwards.
I love that, Jacob. The only thing I would add for people that may be really new to LinkedIn is make sure that your settings are set up that when you hit enter, you're not posting. So you don't get comment, right?
Right.
Because I think the default is, it, you know, and maybe I'm thinking Facebook. I don't know, but I remember one of them, I had to change the settings. So if I hit enter, it didn't automatically post.
It doesn't. I know what you're talking about. This isn't a comment. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I just did this today with a new client. We like literally practiced a 3-point shot and I pressed enter and it skipped a line. But that's a very good point. Even if it posts, great point. Even if it posts, you can still edit your own comment.
Yeah.
There's like three dots. You can edit it. Yeah. So excellent point.
And I mean, I wrote it in quotes. I love that. I would be interested in discussing current opportunities. I love that. I mean,
there's multiple reasons for this. One, 60 to 80% of jobs are never posted to the public. Why? Because many reasons. They're trying to hire internally. They can send out a company-wide email, get a handful of responses. They're done interviewing in a couple of weeks or months. It just depends. And it's cheaper. Company does not have to go to a third-party staffing firm. They don't have to pay for ad space. Like a lot of reasons why you want to say current opportunities, plural.
I like that a lot.
And also when you apply to a single job, well, that's just one job. Sometimes it happens where you have an interview and they're like, you know, you may not be good for this role, but I think you would be great for this other role. That does not, not happen all the time. It's rare. That's why you have to advocate for yourself and be like, what about some other opportunities? You know, like, I'm curious, like, let's have a conversation, blah, blah, blah. That's why a job board cannot accomplish that. Right. It just can't. So that's why, like, good old straight up have a conversation, like, but do it on LinkedIn, because then you're visible to the masses.
So how do you do this without being stalkerish?
I'm not at liberty to say. That's a great question. That's kind of a subjective question. So, well, one, not everybody has premium, so they don't know who's looking at who.
Okay.
Right? You can't, I'm fairly certain that if you don't have premium, you can't see who's viewed your profile.
No, well, okay, let me rephrase the question, and because yeah, I can see everybody that views me, unless they make it as a LinkedIn user. Really what I was asking though was, is there a certain number of times that you should engage with a hiring manager, or a certain number of times? That's what I meant by being stalkerish. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a broad question. I've gotten so many stalkerish questions. Great question. So at pretty much any company, so a decision maker is a broad term, right? Like, a decision maker is not an actual job title. Neither is hiring manager. I don't believe that's an actual job title. So it could be a manager, a director, talent acquisition, CEOs, senior VPs, decision makers, right? As a whole, managers have teams and they have buy-in of who they hire. So there's all sort of, to come back around, there's always more than one decision maker per company. And then the only thing I'm not always 100% certain about is which decision maker, right? Because, you know, if you're an engineer at Amazon, there's a whole engineering wing, right? If you're a software development, there's that. So you can search by, there's two ways to do it. You can use medium to large companies have company pages on LinkedIn. It's literally a people directory. So it'll tell you every single person that works at that company that is also on LinkedIn. So it may not show everybody, but pretty much most people are on LinkedIn, unless you've been living under a rock. So that's one way to do it. You can also search for company and job title and click the people filter just right on LinkedIn.
And then
so I can type in like Amazon Human Resources, click the people filter. You can also type in a city. So it'll literally filter whatever you want. It's very powerful and you know how to use it.
And then when you start making comments to the people that you're following, it goes back to the add value, right? So every time somebody posts, you shouldn't be saying, hey, great post. Or, you know, say, if you're, you know, just make sure you're adding value. What about the post really resonated with you? Or even if you disagree, I think there's a lot to be said about a reasonable argument on LinkedIn. Because I've had some pretty good discussions where somebody posted something that they didn't agree with what I said. And it doesn't typically devolve into like
chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't devolve into Facebook. Let's put it that way.
I was trying not to go there, but yeah, basically.
Well, I said the other F word. It's okay. So yeah, you want to keep it civil, right? Because I mean, if you start bad mouthing in the comments, it is literally a public forum. Anyone can see it. That's what people forget, right? Or people that just don't use the platform. So yeah, you can, I mean, there are so many different ways to do it. The biggest takeaway for anybody is like, treat the platform like, if you have to give to the platform if you want to receive. Don't do it the other way around. Don't be like, hey, my name's Jacob, I need a job, here's my resume. That's not the price of admission. That's not how it works, right? I'm not saying that people don't do that. Like, there's millions of people that are unemployed, desperate, they got to pay bills. Totally understand that. I'm very empathetic to that. I've been unemployed more times than I can remember, but I learned how to strategize. I learned how to, that if you, instead of a job seeker, you are not a job seeker on LinkedIn. Dramatic pause. You are a product or service to an organization.
I like that.
You are a pro, and I, look, everybody's a critic, right? Some people will say that sounds totally demeaning and blah, blah, blah. But like, you want to find real work? It's out there on LinkedIn, but you need to be a product or service to someone. So you need to push out content that shows, this is my product, this is how I add value, or this is my service, this is how I add value. How do you do that? One of the biggest questions I get is, how do I create content? It's not an easy question. This is what I tell them every time. I'm just like I said before, I'm full of like processes because that's how my brain works. So I create processes and I just rinse and repeat. Content creation, in my opinion, when someone says, how do I create content? I say this, push out or create original bite-sized pieces of content that displays what you do. Okay, bite-sized. Don't put out a 20-minute video when you could say the same thing in two. Okay, now if you do put out a 20-minute video, that's fine. So I already say no one's gonna watch it. Okay, just being like, unless you're an influencer. Okay, so what you do to circumvent that, people's attention spans are short. You wanna talk about people with disabilities, it's even shorter at times. Okay, mine's super short. All right, so I will make from a 20-minute video, I will make 10 2-minute videos. I will chop up a 20-minute video and I will make 2-minute, 2-minute, 2-minute. And right there, Eric, I have 2 weeks of content Monday through Friday. That's it. And then you have a series. You have a series of content. You have 10 2-minute videos Monday through Friday for 2 weeks. So there's many things you can do. You can talk about the beginning, middle, and end of your process, right? Let's say I'm a graphic designer. Beginning, middle, and end of how I make a logo, okay? You can do testimonials, Q&A with clients. Basically, just document your journey. And here's the very specific reason why. Every single word in your post, like we talked about earlier, is searchable by anyone in the world. So when you document what you do, you're literally reverse engineering the process of a hiring manager. They don't need to know your name. That's not what they're typing in to find you. They're typing in generic keywords like job titles, cities, skills, certifications, programming languages, anything in a job description. So when you document your journey, your process, or even your learning journey, if you want to pivot, that's fine too. You are embedding those keywords in which hiring managers are searching for to find you.
I love that. And let's talk a little bit more about you. What would people get when they hire you? Again, it can be very, I hear the word coach a lot. I cringe, even though I work with a business coach, but I was very clear on what I was hiring her for. So what would somebody, who should be hiring you? Who should be reaching out to you? Is it anybody that needs a job that has a disability? Is it somebody that wants to get into a tech space? Is this somebody who's been, you know, to 100 different interviews and isn't getting anywhere?
Sure. So I would say my focus is marketing a candidate, marketing and educating a candidate.
Okay.
Because for example, you have job coaches. I don't really do that because that's like on the job once they already got the job. Right. So I'm not going to like false advertise. Like that's, I don't do that. It's not my expertise. So if you're having trouble with your job search, like really honing in on what you're looking for, I think in a nutshell, it's education. Like I teach people how to market themselves, how to find decision makers, how an algorithm works, how to find, and this algorithm, by the way, can pretty much be used on any social media platform, right? LinkedIn's my favorite, but like you could do this on Clubhouse. The cool thing about Clubhouse, there is no room for content. You just have a profile. But you can search by, for example, job title and city. And there are hundreds, thousands of employers on TikTok that say, we're hiring for a project manager in Chicago. You don't have to be connected to them. But if you type in project manager Chicago, you're going to get a ton of people that share those search terms.
Okay.
And you can just start sifting through if you want. You can get into rooms they're in. You can private message them directly. Like there is a world of opportunity out there and it has nothing to do with a job board.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would caution, and it, you know, this is something you and I talked about when we first met, pick one thing, and get really good at it. Don't try to be everywhere. Right.
Right. You mean in terms of like a skill? Like,
well, social media that you're going to be on, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. So like LinkedIn's my jam. Like I love LinkedIn. Nothing wrong with like branching out. Like, for example, I could be on LinkedIn right now, although I'm on this lovely podcast, but I could be on LinkedIn and then in my earbud, I can be listening to Clubhouse.
Okay.
Right. The thing I like about Clubhouse, I mean, it's passive consumption.
I've never been on Clubhouse. So, I mean, I know it exists.
Don't start. It's It actually blew up during the pandemic, because like everyone's just sitting at home and like it exploded with growth. But I like it because like you can hop in a room. There are some amazing rooms and they're full of hiring managers and recruiters. And literally you can go up on stage, quote unquote, shoot your shot. But like, I'm a project manager. I'm looking for a job in Chicago, and like 30-second pitch. And you can get people from all the big FAANG companies, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, et cetera. And they'll literally like, hey, we have a PM role in Chicago. Send me a note. And it happens like that. Again, you can't do that with a resume that quickly. So all I'm saying is like, and this is directly applicable to like my experience with a disability. You know, however, that saying, like, you got to think outside the box, right? And it applies to like a job and life and whatever. My experience is like, at least with job seeking with a disability, there is no box. The box has been folded up, kicked to the curb, and ready for recycling.
Wow.
There is no box when it comes to looking for work. Like, there's no box.
So when you're helping people and you're educating them, is that where it ends? You teach them, or do you, and then you send them on their way, or do you go so far as to say, okay, let me help you write the first couple posts? Or
so I have a lot of different options. Okay. But one thing that is consistent, like you mentioned, you know, we value our time. Everyone should value their time. People can always reach out to me. Like, if you're one of my clients, and like, I do have fixed amount of time, like with packages, right? Because like, I have to be sane and value my time. But that doesn't mean someone can't reach out to me with like questions, right? Like, I used to be a jazz musician. Like, I'm pretty loose with like, I'm not trying to be like crazy, like a authoritarian. Like, I make parameters, and I would expect someone to like respect those boundaries. And I have user contracts. Like, these are my expectations. I hope that you respect them. And it's an agreement, right? So like, the person signs the agreement, and they're welcome to like, you can look over with a fine tooth comb, like whatever, but like, these are my terms. And again, if someone's not in the financial situation to afford it, that's totally fine. I literally give this stuff away as well, because I mean, I was in the same boat. Like, so I am an empathetic person, a person with a disability, such as myself. Like, I am very empathetic. I mean, I'm still a special education teacher. Like, the amount of empathy you need to have is like, to consistently teach students with disabilities is constant. You always have to be cognizant of like somebody else's needs. So being a coach, it's very much a parallel. Disability or not, it's very much a parallel.
I like that. And then my bias would be having them work with you. Here's why, right? Like, I have read self-help books, but I still use a business coach, right? Because there's things I can understand. Like, in my brain, I'm like, okay, I get that, but I'm still not implementing it. And then I hire my business coach, and it's like, oh, geez, that's what I was missing. Right? That there's like, she helps connect the dots that, right, I didn't know I was missing until I talked it out with her. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, no, totally. Everyone needs a coach, right? Whether you're in business or not, or a professional. Like, I mean, I think I still need a coach. Like, I'm a pretty fresh business. I had a lot of coaching, but it wasn't in the business realm, yeah, right? It was as a job seeker. So I think there's nothing wrong with, like, people have egos. So it's hard to be like, yeah, I need a coach. But like, I mean, I'm always learning new things. People come to me like, how do you know all this on LinkedIn? Because I've learned how to fail. That's the real raw reason. I've failed numerous times, and I learned how to take my collective failures and fail forward.
Right. And then for those that are worried about paying, I would be interested in seeing, and Jacob, you and I didn't talk about this before the show, but I would be interested in seeing if somebody was doing self-directed, meaning they control their own budget, if they could use your services as a line item for employment and have Medicaid pay for you. It would depend on your hourly rate and stuff. And that's, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's something I think might be worth exploring if they reach out to you.
And that's something I actually was in a clubhouse room, and I asked about Medicaid waivers, because that's a thing. I don't know that side too well at all. Yeah, so there's so many different avenues and there's so many people that need these types of services. And I know that there are like discretionary funds, there's like federal, state, like I saw that post you did about like the crazy roadmap of, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna text Eric. Like, cause I didn't even bother trying to like wrap my head around it. But yeah, so it exists just like you were talking about. I could use a coach on that whole process.
No, I mean, the point of that would be families don't be quick to throw their arms up and say, oh, I can't afford this. Instead, try to problem solve and see because the bottom line is every state in the country wants people working to get off benefits.
Right.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. Every state. In fact, Georgia has gone so far to put, you're not going to get Medicaid unless you can prove that you're working or trying to work. And it's not supposed to impact with people with disabilities, but I'm not going to hold my breath. So, you know, with what you're doing, Jacob, I think that complements what they might receive with an agency. So if they're working with an agency and the agency is trying to help people find jobs, maybe the agency can hire you for multiple people. Maybe they can, maybe they can do like, hey, we've got six people that we're trying to work with. And then the agency can hire you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, they have like headhunters,
yeah.
You know, like to find. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, that's what I've been trying to contact. There's so many different organizations. There's like Ready to Work, but like they have very specific. I spoke with the CEO of Ready to Work and I went through all these channels, but they're like, they weren't getting what I was trying to do. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a way. Another thing I do is like I have financing options.
Okay.
Right? Like I'm not naive. I understand these are tough times, especially getting out of this pandemic. Some people say we're still in it. So I'm kind of like, okay, how much skin can you put in the game to get started? And then we will create a plan. We'll create a financing plan.
So where do people go to find your free information? What if they want to reach out to you? How do they find you? Where are you?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn's my jam. I even have a free PDF job seeker cheat sheet pinned to my featured section.
Okay.
I think it's still pinned. I don't remember. But if people can always just DM me and ask for a cheat sheet. Like I want people to have this free resource. 9 times out of 10, nobody will actually utilize it. Right. Because people get stuck. And so then what happens is their ego kicks into high gear and like, I don't want to ask for help. Screw this guy, which is fine. Cause I was that guy too. I was the job seeker, but the resource is free. If you implement it, you will get some traction. That's like, it's as simple as that. The reason why people ask for a coach is because they need guidance. You can do it by yourself. People are go-getters. People are type A's. That's fine. So I am like pushing it out to the world because this is what unlocked opportunity for me. Now I just created a simple document as an educator. You know, it's like literally like a lesson plan for people to find success.
And do you have a YouTube channel or do you have a podcast of your own? Do you know any of that material?
I do. I haven't used it in a while, but I do have a LinkedIn. What is it? Like a page? I forgot what it's called. Yeah, I do have it here. I can tell you, right? It's called Pod Abilities.
Pod Ability?
Yep. So it's like possibilities, but pod, like a podcast. And it's all about adding value for people with disabilities. So like I've interviewed disabled CEOs, disabled entrepreneurs, CEOs of organizations for disabilities, like anything in the disability realm I've interviewed and I've gotten some great like nuggets of wisdom. I still keep in touch with a lot of them. But yeah. So, I mean, anyone's welcome to be a guest just to like, you know, how do you add your value to the world, to the disability world, whether you have a disability or not? I kind of feel like everyone and anyone is affected by someone with a disability. You don't have to be disabled. You don't have to be disabled.
Yeah, and I had this conversation with somebody else. I don't remember if it was on air or off, but, you know, even though I think some of the challenges, many of us have disabilities, but we don't identify as being disabled, right? Like I'm rated by the VA as 90% disabled. And there are days before I got into meds I'm on where I couldn't hold a pen in my hand because my arthritis was so bad. I couldn't hold a pen. I would argue that's disabling. Yet I still don't identify as disabled because in my mind, there's still a lot of negative associations with it. Even though I don't think any less of people with disabilities, I don't want to be thought less of. And I admit to how effed up that sounds. I totally own that. It's stuff I'm working through, but I think that's part of the challenge.
No, I totally get it. One of my family members, when I was a kid, had rheumatoid arthritis. You don't have to have an ego if you don't want, like, it exists. Like, people have their pride, right? They're like, I don't have a disability, you know? And, like, it's not, it just is what it is. Like, people, you know what it is? It's person versus self.
Yeah.
That's how I see it, in my opinion. It's person versus self. Like, I can do this. I don't have a disability. You know what I mean? So that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I don't know why I took us on a tangent. I apologize. I mean,
I love tangents, Eric. I am the tangent king. I love tangents.
But I love this. I love, you know, like, I reached out to you because I've never seen anybody doing what you're doing, right? I see LinkedIn coaches, but it you know, I've even spent some money to try to see, you know, would it help? And it was garbage. But what we talked about today is nothing like what I got in that course, if you want to call it that I took. I mean, this is much more actionable. It's much easier to, I love processes. I love people when they have a process, because to me, it's like, okay, this is the real deal, because it's going to be the same, well, as much as possible, it's going to be the same way with everybody. Which means it's repeatable, and it, you know, and it's scalable. And I will tell you, as a business owner, if you're a job hunter and you are the type of person that thinks like this and you can make processes, you become valuable to the boss, to the company, because many companies are a hot mess when it comes to their SOPs, their standard operating procedures. So if you can think and put things into processes, you are gold for a company. You just have to find the company that's looking for you.
Yeah. Processes, like, that's how I feel like that's how companies run. There's got to be a process for this. There's got to be a process for, you know, like, for a first aid kit, like, all sorts of processes. So yeah, just like, and also, like, less is more. You know, you create a process around something instead of having, like, endless notes. You know, it is scalable.
And is there, I'm thinking about how to ask this in a way that is, somebody said something to me and I want to honor their intent. If somebody is an introvert or autistic or just doesn't like to communicate, how is this still possible? I mean, is this still something they can do?
Well, I'll put it like this. If you're an, I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert. Do introverts write? Do introverts have a diary? Do they have a journal? Do they speak? Yes. I think Mark Zuckerberg's an introvert. He does all right. Right? So my point is, like, I understand, like, it can be overwhelming and it can be a daunting task to, like, post a piece of content. But, like, how else are you going to get found? Right? If there's a million resumes getting pumped into an applicant tracking system, how do you stick out? Right? It's, what's that quote from Dr. Seuss? Why fit in when you're born to stand out? Right? It's true. And that goes tenfold for people with disabilities.
And then there's the other piece of it. It doesn't have, don't wait for it to be perfect to put it out there. You know, don't let perfection get in the way of progress.
Yes. And that's one of the biggest things that people struggle with content, is they edit it, they post, they edit and delete. And it's like, no. As soon as you touch the platform, you're searchable. As soon as you touch it, you leave a comment, you're searchable. You post, you're searchable. So it's like, you can always edit, you know, if you didn't mean to say something, that's fine. But, like, keep moving forward. Keep the ball moving. That's why I always like to tell people, if you inquire about a job and they're like, you know, in private and public, whatever, oh, we're sorry, the job was filled 2 days ago. This is a golden opportunity to be like, okay, thank you so much. Dramatic pause. Is there someone else, like, based on our conversation, is there someone else that you can connect me with? Because you just told your life story to that person, most likely. And now you're in their network and you're connected to them. So keep the ball moving. Don't stop the ball. Keep it moving forward. Because what are they going to, they'll either be like, not nice about it, or they'll be like, yeah, you know what, based on your experience, I'm going to connect you with this person, or I'm going to connect you with this organization. Like, There's always ways to network, even through rejection.
And you can, there's a flip side of that too, Jacob. I have been very successful because I make a lot of introductions. The way I make my introductions is I listen for what people are doing and what pain points they have. So by the same token, you see an employer who has a job out there. Maybe it's not a job you would ever be interested in a million years, but maybe you know somebody who is interested. There's no reason you can't connect it to. And, you know, on LinkedIn, you could say, hey, tag so-and-so. So, and then link to the, and this is where Jacob can help you do it the right way, but, you know, tag so-and-so and then link it to the job posting. So the hiring manager sees that you linked this person to raise awareness of the post, or maybe you share the post and you tag the person.
Right. Yeah. 100%. The only thing I'll say with tagging is just be cautious. Not for like a person doesn't want to be tagged if they're currently employed.
Good catch.
Right. But that's the only thing. I always am very cautious with tagging. It is very powerful because once you tag someone, it's visible to my network, the hiring network, and the person. So it's a triple, it's a trifecta. If you want to be discreet about it, you can literally take the entire post and send it as a private message, which is pretty cool too.
And that's why I said, talk to Jacob.
There you go. Well, no, I always like to tell people, like, just be wary. Like, a lot of people that are looking for work are employed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you might have employees in your network. Just, I always tell them, like, comments are public. Be careful.
And I always tell people not to, you know, don't leave your job until you have another job in place. You know, there's nothing worse if you can avoid it than being out without a safety net. But
I mean, look, like, I'm always looking for work. Perfect example. The pandemic, like, always. I'm not into the whole like hustle culture and blah, blah, blah. Like, you need to take a break. But like, I'm always have my ears to the ground. I'm always connecting people. I'm always like, cause like, I don't need to hop on a Zoom. I don't need to be on my laptop. I can just on my phone. Like, you know, my wife busts my chops for it, but like, okay, I'm helping people. I'm adding value.
Always be giving.
Yep. It's like Glengarry Glenn Ross, always be closing, but yeah, always be giving.
Yeah. No, this was awesome, Jacob. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't? Any last minute thoughts you want to make sure we get out there? Could you share your email to make sure people know how to reach you?
Sure. No, I think you hit all, you know, major points, especially like I had an opportunity to like, I don't like to just talk. I like to add value, obviously, but like we had an opportunity to like show people what you say in a comment on a job post. Like, this is what you do. Like, this, that's it. And if you need a copy of it, you can email me, Jacob A. Levy, Levy, @gmail.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I don't use them as much, but I'm available. And yeah, so I do have the free PDF job seeker cheat sheet. It's on my profile. I'm happy to send it to Eric or whoever wants it. Just, you know, you don't have to give me your life story. Just ask for the cheat sheet, right? You can give me your life story, but, you know, whatever.
You're awesome, Jacob. Thank you for coming on. This was fun.
Absolutely. Really grateful for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to today's interview with Jacob Levy. Really hope you've took something away from it. If you know somebody, whether they have a disability or not, that's looking for a job in the job market, open to new possibilities, even if they're not actively looking, I think share this podcast with them. I'm sure they can get a nugget or two out of it, even if the only thing they do is get the free cheat sheet. Because I'll tell you, LinkedIn, I think there's a lot of opportunity for people that really know what they're doing on LinkedIn. And I think Jacob really helps you level the playing field no matter what your personal experience is. Anyway, thank you for listening. If you're so moved, I would appreciate you if you'd be willing to make it, leave a comment, leave a rating. I've been told that it helps raise awareness, helps me be found on the podcast. I'm not sure. I don't know very much about the metrics of all that. But I do know that if you share it with somebody, that's a much better chance of somebody who finding my podcast, because it would come from somebody that they know, they like, they trust, and they're more likely to listen to it. Thanks again for listening. Till next time.